setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. Everybody on the planet was created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed and that you must do it. Yes, it, that role. That unique role that you were created to perform. Somebody out there needs you to be you, and so that's why we're on the air. That's right. We're not talking politics. We're talking purpose. And thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577, the number, 844-747-2577. We started off in Wooster, Ohio with Christy. Christy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Christy. How can I help?
So I have been teaching for 13 years in middle school, and I feel like I'm constantly going through this cycle where I love my job and then I despise my job.
Mm-hmm.
And like there are some years I just don't know if I can continue with as much despise as I have, especially towards like government and behavior, I guess, is the biggest issues.
Yes. Well, let's stay right there for a second. Because we'll get to the next part of the conversation once we truly list out what you love most and what you despise most, because that's where we've got to find the bridge. So what do you love most about teaching middle schoolers?
Well, I mean, I like to step back and watch them performing something that I've shown them or something that they've learned. I like to see the growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then is anything else on the love list?
Summer break and Christmas, of course.
Ah, you're playing games. Okay, I got it. So the bottom line is you're like every other teacher. You love to see the fruits of your labor. So when you instruct, they get it, and they show you that they got it. And so that's really rewarding. I get that. What do you despise most? I think I have an idea, but let's just call it out.
Well, I mean, I feel like we have the students that they're struggling learners, and that's nothing they can help, but we're held to the same standard with every kid, and there's so much pressure from the government, and then the downfall of the home, there's so much behavior, it just gets exhausting.
Yeah. So you sound like a lot of the teachers that have called into the show who feel like they want to completely change careers when what's really going on is the limitations of your location. So I don't think you need to be questioning teaching. I think you need to be questioning the location, the limitations that come with that location. So for instance, let's take the two key things you just mentioned that you despise. One is the government standards, one size fits all, which forces that type of results-based stress that you're dealing with, and a lot of other teachers. Because wait a second, every kid's different, but now these kids are struggling. Maybe they have some learning challenges. And so you add that to it, it makes it impossible to do. And who likes to do the impossible all day long, every day? It beats you down. So that's what's going on there. Now, the other thing is the behavioral issues, which come with, let's just be really honest, I don't want to offend anybody, but good Lord, you got to be careful what you say these days. You know what I mean? Everybody's looking to be offended. But we know what's going on. I heard what you said. And so you can't change the homes that these kids are coming from. That's not something you can control. Nor are you going to be able to change the public school standardized testing nonsense and funding being tied to school performance, which again sounded like a really good idea in a bureaucrat's office, but they don't think about how it actually affects you, the teacher, and the kids. So you take those two things, you
Absolutely.
Go, if I remove those two things, would you enjoy teaching?
Oh, I think I would. And I guess I imagine teaching in like a museum or somewhere where I'm not held to that ridiculous government standard.
You're already ahead of me. Way to go, Christy. Because what I think the answer here is not to stop performing the core role that you have, which is teacher instructor. Don't stop that. Just change where we do it. So we've got to look at two things. A, government standards and being put inside of an impossible box. How do we remove that? Okay, well, we got some ideas there. And then if I'm going to teach students, I want to teach students that, A, want to be there maybe. How about that? Where I'm not dealing with behavior.
Absolutely.
You know, so again, you understand where this is going, you know, or in an environment where in a private school, they're going to deal with behavior. They don't really care. If your kid doesn't behave, we're kicking them out. Well, you don't do that in public school, you know. And so I think you have to look at where are the places. This is a very simple exercise. Where are the places where you can continue to instruct, but you're not dealing with those two awful limitations, which are causing you all of the grief? And you already identified one. You don't have to do it on the radio. That's your homework assignment. And all of a sudden you go, hey, I can get there.
And, well, my concern is that I've been researching places like that, and it doesn't seem like those types of jobs would pay the bills, if you follow me.
Eh, what do you make right now as a teacher?
About 60.
Oh, stop it. There's plenty of places that you can teach where you make 60 or more. You're fairly capped. Okay. You're capped in your current environment, unless you move up into administration. Yeah, so, you know, is this going to happen overnight? May not be happening overnight, Christy. This might be something that happens in the next 2 to 3 years. Maybe you got to get your master's. I don't know, which means maybe you have to cash flow your way through there. I don't know.
Yeah, I already have my master's.
Okay, great. So why don't you do what I told you to do? And you know I'm saying this in total love here. I'm not a guy who beats up on callers. But you're already coming up with limitations. And I don't want to hear any more limitations. Because what I want to hear are, where are the places? So if it's, you know, I'm teaching in corporate America now. I'm taking my teaching skills and I'm doing corporate training. That's teaching. I'm teaching on the college level, community college or university level. Or I'm teaching adults online who are pursuing their degrees. I just named three. I'm done your homework for you and I shouldn't have, but I'm a parent. I got three kids. So I do that every night. So I can't help myself. But do you understand what I'm saying? Now, all of a sudden, you go, oh, and we look at those things and we say, all right, what does it take? What do I need to learn, do to get qualified? Number two, what is it going to cost me? Time and money. And then based on what it's going to cost, how long will it take for me to get completed and get qualified? Those are the three questions you ask in the research stage, which is stage two of realizing the dream. And we look at this and we go, oh, here are the answers. Now that I have the answers, I'm not scared anymore, am I? I see what must be done. I know how long it's going to take based on my reality. And maybe I can put up with this bad behavior every once in a while, knowing that every day I'm making progress. See, there's a lot of Christies out there who may not be able to step right now into that next phase. I don't know if she can or can't, but if you're there and you go, Ken, it's going to take me 2 or 3 years, focus on the end result, where you're going to end up as a result of your persistent efforts. That'll keep you in the game. Trust me. As long as I'm making progress, Ken, I can put up with anything. Yeah, you can. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. What are you thinking about today? What's on your mind? Is it positive stuff? Is it negative stuff? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it insecurity? I just want you to ask yourself that as you hear my voice. What do you find yourself today or the last couple days? What's dominating your thoughts? I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show because it really, really matters. It's a scientific process and that they've identified in the brain, and it matters deeply. So take some inventory. We'll talk about it a little bit later. 844-747-2577 is the number. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. You're going, wait a second, is this guy's not talking politics? No, not going to. We're going to talk about your purpose. That's why we do what we do here. We believe you were created to fill a unique role. You are needed and you must do it. And that's why we are here, to help you figure out that role and how to get there. 844 747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Eugene, Oregon, where Rochelle is on the line. Rochelle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Rochelle. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great. How can I help today?
Well, I worked for the same company for 24 years, and I've been laid off. I'm 54, and I don't know what I want to do now. Trying to figure it out. I know what I do know is what I don't want to do, and that is what I was doing, and I don't want to get stuck behind a desk.
Okay, great. Now, see, there's a clue. You don't want to get stuck behind a desk. But let's go a lot more specific than that, and I want you to start with the things you do best. I mean, you've been employed for a long time. You're a very talented lady.
Mm-hmm.
What are your top talents and skills? If you were to introduce me to all your dearest friends and coworkers, people that know you well, and I said, tell me what Rochelle does better than anything else, what would they tell me?
Well, what I've heard from others is I have excellent customer service skills.
Mm-hmm.
Very organized, great communication skills. I'm determined, friendly, mm-hmm. a calming presence.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, so this is awesome. We're off to a great start. Now, this next one is what tends to lock people up. So I want to set you up here so that you're just free with me, that you realize there's no wrong answer, and I want you to turn your brain off and let your heart answer these questions. So I want to know what work that you've always wondered about. You fantasized about it, maybe even as far back as middle school, high school. You never did it, or maybe you did it on some level. Life changed, threw something at you, and you never pursued it. Work that you may have experienced a little bit of it in your working career, but you never got to do it full time. If I was going to pay you to do this, or fill this role tomorrow, and there were no qualification issues, you knew you couldn't fail, that it was absolutely going to work, what would you do? What comes to mind?
Well, two things come to mind. One of the things, I've always loved animals, mm-hmm. of just about any kind.
Okay.
Working with them, you know, anyway. And the other thing is health and fitness, mm-hmm. health and wellness.
Okay.
Those are the two things that I tend to gravitate to if I'm reading online, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm studying,
yeah.
those kind of things.
Okay, great. Now, how much do you need to make? What are you making now? If we were going to replace your salary, just as a baseline, what would that be?
Well, what I was making was about $60,000 a year.
Okay, great. So do you need to make that, or do you have some financial freedom if you needed to?
I have some financial freedom.
Okay, great.
So
now, that's huge.
I can even go half that if I had to.
Okay, now that's just good information. That is really important. All right, now, so I want to know the why behind health and fitness. Is there a signature thought that pops in your mind when I go, why are you so intrigued by health and fitness? What do you think influences that desire to learn, desire to do it right? What do you think that is?
I'm not really sure, other than it's just something I've always wanted to achieve myself.
Just good optimal health.
Yeah.
Right. So,
right.
So that is the answer. So the answer here, Rochelle, and those of you listening at home with this exercise that I'm walking her through, the answer to her why is it matters deeply to me. I've always put a premium on being healthy, meaning nutrition and exercise. Is that correct?
Right.
So do you see how that matters deeply there? All of a sudden, it's like, this isn't just some weird thing. This matters to you. It always has.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, you want to pass that on to other people, right? You see the benefits of this.
Right.
All right. So this is interesting. If we go over to your top talents, being good at serving people, that's customer service. Being uh-huh. organized, it means you've got a good grasp of details. There's some discipline there. Communication means you just connect well with others. You know how to take maybe a complex thought and maybe simplify it. Does that sound right?
Right.
Great. And the friendly thing is just, again, that's a communicator. Calm, you know, that's about level-headed thinking. And then, of course, very determined. You've got a strong work ethic. If you take all that together and you go, how would you use those strengths and talents in the field of health and nutrition? What would you do? If I could give it to you tomorrow, no risk, what would you be doing?
Be a health coach.
There you go. Now, we've got ourselves a really good clue. Does this mean that you're going to be a health coach? I don't know. But this is the starting process This is discovery. It's what I just walked you through. This, the very first step you've got to do when you're unsure what you want to do is get into discovery mode, which is what we did. We looked at what you do best and what you love to do most. Why? Because we want to know who Rochelle is. Who is she? Well, this is what she's made up of, talents and passions. And then we get to go, oh, well, that explains the why. We get to the why. Okay, so now it's like, okay, how would we do that? Well, health coach is just one way to do it. So your next steps right now are to begin to research beyond health coach. Are there any other positions, roles, where you can turn that into a job? You see, this is a real job, and it's going to pay me somewhere between $30,000 and $60,000. Once you get a list, even if it's two or three things, now we walk through the three questions everybody has to ask in the research stage, which is, what do I need to do to get qualified? What do I need to learn to do to get qualified? Second thing is, how much is that going to cost me? Time and money. And then based on the cost of time and money, what's the length of this process to actually step into this role? A ballpark idea. Because life always throws curveballs. But that's your process right now. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah. I just don't know what I do in the meantime.
I just told you what you do in the meantime.
I mean, as far as working,
well,
you know.
Oh, well, I understand that, but my point is you said you had some financial independence, so I wasn't going
right.
that direction. But the answer
right.
to that is, if you got to go get a decent, solid job that you don't just hate in the meantime, then do that. Because you're going to start getting qualified on the side. Because to be
right.
a health coach, here's what's important. You've actually got to use my proximity principle, the book I wrote, the best-selling book, and you've got to actually get around some health coaches who are successful. I don't want a health coach who doesn't have any clients. I want you to be sitting down having coffee with a health coach who's got a really robust business, because this is an entrepreneurial venture, if health coach is the only way or the way you want to go. But I would suggest to you that being a health coach isn't the only way. There are other ways for you to use those talents to perform that passion of being in the health and fitness industry. See, you could just be in the industry and be a major player in certain ways that don't require you to become a coach. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you've got some more research and discovery to do to kind of figure out, okay, what are all the ways? And I want you kind of identifying multiple ways to use your talents in the health and nutrition exercise field. That takes the pressure off. As far as, is it a silver bullet? One thing. No. Now, in the meantime, could you go get a job doing some of the things you did before, not behind a desk? I understand that. But what if you were in some type of customer service or operations role for a really large gym or for a nutrition, you know, food company, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now all of a sudden you're doing something that you're good at, and it's not the dream job, but you're in proximity, you're in the space.
Yeah, that makes sense.
While you are getting qualified, you are
right.
making wonderful connections because you're already in the dance. You're in. So
excellent.
That's what you need to do. This is coming. Rochelle, get after it. I love it. That's the process. This is what we do on the Ken Coleman Show. More coming up. Don't move. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. We're helping you discover what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. We've got the proven plan. We just need your story so we can plug in. And that's why we do what we do. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Folks, I just learned about the reticular activating system this morning. And some of you are going, is this a science show? I thought you were talking to me about my work and career. Yeah. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in this segment. The reticular activating system. This is the brain. The brain is so powerful, we all know this, but it is the filter of our brain because there's so much coming at you every day. So how do your thoughts and the reticular activating system work together to keep you either stuck or to free your soul? I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But first, to the phones we go. Michael is on the line in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Michael, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Sure. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Well, I am living the dream. What can I do for you?
Well, I am calling as a 20-year veteran in the restaurant industry. I've been a restaurant manager for some time, and there are parts of it that I really love, and there are parts of it that I absolutely hate, and I am ready to make a transition into a new career.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is, what do you have in mind? Do you have ideas of things that would allow you to do similar tasks and fill similar functions to the ones you love?
Yes. Yeah, so the things I like about what I do are leadership, motivating others to their best potential, teaching and training, empowering and inspiring. Mm-hmm. The things I don't are the compliance for compliance's sake, just the rote activity, finding myself, you know, washing dishes for hours on end. I want to connect with people and help them find their way.
Yeah.
And I want to work for an organization that has some kind of public service behind it, something that's going to help people.
Okay, when you say public service, give me an example of some things that would that are connected to your heart. And you say, boy, if I was involved in an organization that was providing this service to the public, I would feel fulfilled.
Yeah, so one of the examples that comes to mind is helping people find their way out of debt, finding their way to their own dreams. So, you know, being of service to others in that sense really appeals to me.
Okay. So what you described are two things that Ramsey Solutions does, obviously, right? So these things, mm-hmm. these things connect to you, the Dave Ramsey Show, the Ken Coleman Show. Dave's helping people with money. I'm helping people do work that matters deeply to them and feel that sense of significance. I certainly get that. But those are two examples. So you've got something to start with. But really, it could be anything as it relates to a product or a service that you have a personal connection to, meaning you know the product is valuable, you believe in it, and you're happy to be a part of pushing that product out, whatever the role is. But we know this. You described leadership. That's what your passion is leading people.
Yes, sir.
And it's not bureaucracy and the kind of, I'm going to call it management for lack of a better phrase or word, because it's not like, okay, you've got this box, stay in this box. You love the personal side of the professional environment. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. See, did you hear how you said that?
Yeah.
Did you hear how your whole voice, and I can't see you right now, but when I described it that way, I said you love the personal side of the professional game. You went, yes, you leapt, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I thought I heard that. Because I don't want to do any voodoo here. I'm not trying to manipulate people. I want to make sure I hear it, and I thought I heard it. So we did hear it. So now that tells you something. So yep. I would tell you it is largely inconsequential what industry that you're in, as long as you are in a place where obviously the culture is healthy and there's strong ethics and you have at least some connection to the product or service that's being offered, whether it be food or technology. You want to be in a situation where you're leading a team of people around a united mission. So all you got to do is connect to that company and say, could I get excited about this product or service and their mission? If the answer is yes, I would tell you that they're on your list. Because Great. You just need to be in a place of leadership and you've got a strong resume. How long you been? I said 20 years you've been leading people in the restaurant business.
Yes.
See, that's very transferable to other industries. Because how would you describe the restaurant industry? Fast paced?
Well,
is it fast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Heavy most service, part, no. Right? You're only as good as the last customer that walked out the door.
That's right.
You got a lot of competition, don't you?
Yes.
You deal largely with people that aren't there for the rest of their life. It's not, you're dealing with hourly employees where it's just a job and you got to train them. You got to lead them. And keep them motivated, right? That's a really difficult leadership task.
Sure.
Do you see how that makes you really valuable? How good of a leader could you be if you were leading people who wanted to be there?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I know. There it is, folks. His second yes of the phone call. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. I think your next steps are to do some homework in the area of sitting down and thinking in your area. Okay. And we're talking about Chattanooga, great, great place. Know it well. Not too far from us. And you're going, what are the companies that are good, solid companies? They got good products, good services. I know they've got a good culture, and they're hiring leadership positions. And I think you have to have the boldness and the confidence to say, I can lead outside of a restaurant context, because you can. Leadership is not limited to your context. It's not. Leadership, leaders can lead in any context, in any environment. So if you have that confidence, I want you to make a list of the type of positions that are available in Chattanooga, the type of companies that are offering those, and let's go that direction. And then what's going to happen, Michael, is that you're going to begin to see opportunities, and you're going, hey, does this meet the test? Can I lead a team of people that where I've got to do the type of leadership things that I love? And if it doesn't fit, then it goes in the trash. We're not going to go after it. This is simple stuff. All right. This is perfect. Basically coming off of Michael's call. This is great. I led off the segment saying I'm going to talk to you about the reticular activating system. Because sometimes you all hear me on the show talk about the psychological effect that's well documented, that when you go buy a car on your way home, and the next day and the next day and the next day, you see that car everywhere. That's happened to everybody. You're going, I didn't even see this car 2 days ago. And then I buy the car, and I'm all excited about driving it around and telling everybody and showing everybody my car. And then I see 17 of them in 3 days. It happens to everybody. And so I know this to be true. You know it to be true. But I was talking to somebody today, somebody that I admire, a mentor of mine, who does a lot of life coaching and career coaching. And he told me this is the reticular activating system. So this is the brain. Go look it up. So this is the brain's filter. Because here's what happens. We have billions and billions of images that are coming at our brains every day. Just coming at us all the time. If we didn't have the reticular activating system, we'd all be walking around like there was a giant shrill noise like a dog whistle. We just couldn't function because there's too much coming in our head. So what happens is our thoughts, what we think about, what we're focused on, tells the brain what images to shoot at us. The brain is a visual computer. So here's my point. If you are always thinking negative thoughts, your brain is going to go send you negative pictures. If you're thinking fearful thoughts, your brain is going to send you all the pictures that perpetuate the fear you're thinking about. If you're thinking about doubt, doubting yourself, you're insecure, that's what your brain is going to see. Mind-blowing. So here's the exercise. I want you to do an assessment. What kind of thoughts you've been thinking the last 24 hours, the last week? You seen those images pop up? If you change the way you think, you'll change the way you act. Oh, that's good. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where we, one caller at a time, help men and women discover what they were created to do and then show them the proven path to make that job a reality. And it's not just the job, it's the work. It's work you're good at, work that you love, and work that creates a result that connects deeply to your heart. That is available. That's why so many people are unhappy at work. They're showing up on Monday morning, and they may be good at it, but there's zero connection to the work. And that's not how it's supposed to be. 844-747-2577, the number. Let's go to Jeff, who's on the line in St. Petersburg, Florida. Jeff, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I am living the dream, sir. How can I help?
So I think we spoke last time, I think a week or two ago, and The advice you gave me led to a new opportunity.
Oh, that's great.
Well, you know, a week later. So I'm in a position now where, I haven't had an interview yet, but it's another role within the organization. And it might lead to what I think would get to where I want to go.
Okay.
So my question is to you, I feel as though I have somewhat good experience in this other role. And, I know the platform, which they're mainly specializing in. And I just want to see what your thoughts are about, asking for what type of salary. What I do now is hourly. And, and that's not including overtime. So, I want to make the right, I want to negotiate. And I want to see what your thoughts would be on how to go about doing that and get the best salary for me.
Did I understand or misunderstand? Are you applying for a job within your current company?
Yeah. So I have my license, and what I'm doing now, it's just a totally different part of.
Okay. All right. So the point is this. So here's the point. The reason I asked the question is because these people know you. So this is not.
They know me. They know me.
And you're an hourly rate, and now you're applying for a position that is a salaried position.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know what the salary is for that position? Because there have been other people.
I spoke with the person who's hiring, and they gave me a range, and, the range is pretty wide.
Okay.
Very wide.
Well, tell me what the range is, because I'd rather deal in specifics so I can give you specific advice. What's the range?
Between 50 and 90,000.
50 and 90,000. Okay.
Yes.
And that probably has to do with experience. Do you have any experience?
I have about a year and a half of experience in this type of work.
Okay. Have you, and if it's okay if you haven't, but if you the next step is you need to talk with people who are equally experienced or maybe a little bit more experienced than you.
Which
and
I have already. What,
okay,
I have
great. What'd they tell you? What'd they get paid?
He said, for what he does a different line of, it's IT. And he goes, it's a negotiation. Meet them where you want to be at.
No, I agree, and I'm trying to help you with that. What I want to know is what are they making? I'm looking for similar experience.
So with similar experience, he believes I should be asking for 85.
Okay, great. So ask for 85, and let me just tell you this: it's not a negotiation. I'm going to tell you something. I don't see any data out there. That says that companies want to do a lot of negotiating. Companies have an idea of what they're going to pay somebody based on the market value. The other thing I was going to tell you to do is you need to take your buddy's answer, and then you need to go research it. And to the extent that you can research, and I think you can, and get a good idea what the market is paying for somebody that's doing what you want to do there in this position, and let's justify your buddy's opinion with some data. Okay. Now, once we have those two numbers, let's say that the market is saying that it's a 75 to 80 thousand pay range, and your buddy says he thinks you should make 85. Well, then I'm looking at that and I'm going, all right, I'm going to ask for 80. I'm going to split the difference.
Right. And that's the number I want to get to.
Then do it. But my point is, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of negotiation. I think you've got to go in. Now, I'd be very careful about this too.
That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, okay, good. So here's the deal. You don't need to bring it up until it's the right time to bring it up. And usually they're going to, they're going to have a number in mind, and that's when I would talk numbers.
Right, right.
Don't talk numbers until they present a number. So, let's get the offer, and then when we get the offer, let's say they offer you 75. That's when you go, hey, I'd love to talk about this. I did my research. I've got a friend who makes this, and he's got a little bit more experience than me, and then this is what I'm finding online in this position, and I'd like it to be 80. Can we get it to 80? And I think that's your one shot.
Right.
And then they're going to respond. And at that right. point, you got to go, all right, either right. I'm going to hold out right. for the $5,000 extra, or I'm going to take the $75,000 and work my way up, and I'm going right. to I'm going to do everything it takes to grow. So that's my advice. Be very well informed so that when they give you an offer, you can respond intelligently and humbly. It's not, I deserve this, I'm worth this. Don't say those words. Good Lord, have mercy. Don't say, I'm worth it, I deserve it. Because you don't get to determine that. They do. This isn't motivational gibberish in the mirror. That doesn't work in the real world. The company gets to decide what they believe the position is worth and get in the door and then show them. Prove it. Don't tell anybody what you're worth and what you deserve. Ugh. That is a disaster. Because what happens the minute that you say things like, I'm worth X, or I deserve X, let me tell you what happens. I don't care how good and decent the person is, there is a natural recoil that happens at that point, and it becomes a defense thing. And you put the person who is most likely to help you to decide to give you the money you want to make, and you put them on the defensive. Now they are in an adversarial position because you've put them on the defensive. They haven't even had a chance to say, this is what we pay, why we pay it. No, you said, I deserve this, I'm worth this. And all of a sudden, we've turned the one ally that we have, or certainly the most valuable ally that we have, and we've turned them into the enemy. Come on, folks. Use your brain. Think about this. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until the next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with Daniel Tardy.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast. We believe that small business is the backbone of the American economy. And we also know it can be really hard to win in business. So we're here to help. On the Entree Leadership Podcast, we talk about the practical ways that you can grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Join us every week as we talk to entrepreneurs, CEOs, thought leaders, best-selling authors, and more to help you on the journey of winning at business.
You can start your journey at entreleadership.com/podcast, or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.